I don't know how many of you think about this very often, but what does it look like in your life to wait on the Lord? You see, we all have these moments in our life where we feel that the Lord's presence perhaps is distant from us. In those moments, it's vital that we remain ready for our Lord to show up in our life. Now, He may not always show up as we expect, but no matter what, there is one occurrence in which our Lord's going to show up and that we have to remember. One day, our Lord is going to show up and there will not be an opportunity to redo our wrong any longer. You see, here's the thing. When we're living on this earth and we're spending our life, that is our opportunity to live for Him. That opportunity does not come after the fact. It comes during this life. So, I want to look at the parable of the 10 virgins here today, because there was 5 of them we're going to learn that were ready for the Lord. But there was 5 of them that spent their life treading their wheels, spinning their wheels, and not getting anywhere. And they weren't ready. So if you would stand with me this morning, let's look at Matthew 25, starting there in verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we have just read in your word, Father, we all have an opportunity to make a wise decision with our life. A decision in which would honor you and please you. A decision to follow you. And Father, one day to live in eternity with you. But Father, if we spend our life in foolishness, Father, there will be no second opportunity after that. Father, we know you're the God of grace, but we have to be willing to accept that grace. Father, we have to be willing to follow in what you've commanded of us. Father, it's not going to be as simple that we'll wait until that day and then think, now I can redo. No, that opportunity will not be present. Father, I thank you today for allowing us this time together and in your most holy word. And my prayer today, our prayer today, is that your Spirit would stir in our hearts. Father, that those in among us today who they haven't chosen to follow you, Father, they've been acting foolish, Father, that they would turn unto you, Father, because we know there's one day that there won't be another chance. Father, we thank you for allowing us this time. Be with us and guide us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you think about the consequences of your actions often? You see, we learn by the law of physics that every action has a reaction, and that includes our actions in this life. They all have a consequence. You know, here's the thing when we're thinking about our actions. It requires an attribute called wisdom. The opposite of this attribute was explained plainly in the passage we just read in verse 3 of Matthew 25, where it said, "They were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Think of that for a minute. They showed up, but they didn't bring no oil. Why would they do that? Foolishness. Foolishness is not a quality that will lead us to God. Foolishness is a quality that will separate us from God. Now, certainly we all have our moments, right? That's fair. But let's be honest here for a moment. Our God has called us to act with a little bit of common sense, not always ignorance. And so, though we fail and we fall short, the quality that leads us to God is being wise enough to understand what He has done for us and to accept Him into our lives and to live for Him. That quality is not one of foolishness. In fact, we can go as far as to say that wisdom is critical to our faith. It really is. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't have found Solomon over in Chronicles saying, "Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead your people." If wisdom was not critical in what he was doing, he wouldn't have requested it. If it was just a haphazard, whatever happens, happens kind of thing, he wouldn't have needed wisdom. So, when I say wisdom, I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world, right? I'm not talking about wisdom in a textbook or wisdom found even in a skill, though those things are great things. The world's wisdom is not always the wisdom of the Bible. While the world's wisdom possesses a book training or a skill training, wisdom by Scripture is simply these three things. And they're going to pop up on the screen here, and I want to look at them all individually here. First, it's what God had promised us. We know that God's promises is that He was going to send His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, rise again on the third day, and He was going to do it for our sins. So, because God promised us that, we know that we have the wisdom, the understanding of what God is going to do. Was going to do what he had promised. Next, it was what Jesus had done. So he didn't just say, "I'm going to do this." He followed through. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again for our sins. So now we have the wisdom that this wasn't just a promise, this has happened. So we understand that. That is a wisdom of what God has done. Now, the third one is what Jesus is going to do. We all know, based off the Scripture, that Jesus is going to return for us and one day sanctify us in glory with Him. In that truth, because we know what He has done, because we see, wise enough to understand what Jesus is and who He is, we know that that promise is solid. It will be there. And because we know that, we can live a life in which we should have a desire to live for Him. Not a foolish life where we're neglecting as though the virgins were. When we are wise in a godly way, we understand that He has sent a propitiation for our sins in Christ. When we understand what He has done for us, that is a godly wisdom. When we understand what He is going to do for us, that is a godly wisdom. We understand that our only way to Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ, seeking repentance on our life, turning to Him and living for Him. That is a godly wisdom. And we understand that one day He is going to return for His people. That is a godly wisdom. So the question that really is so pertinent to us today is, where do you stand? Do you have that wisdom? If you have that wisdom and you find yourself neglecting that wisdom, then you really aren't wise at all. You're as the five foolish virgins who is thinking under the mindset of, well, I'll just show up. God will take me anyway. It'll be okay. And that is a foolish way to think. When he returns, are you going to be ready? Matthew 25, 8 through 10, which was some of our scriptures here, says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage." And listen to this last line, "And the door was shut." Think of the statement there. It wasn't just a closed door that could be opened back up. It was shut. Think of it as a locked door. That's it. End of story. No backing up. So are we going to choose today to be made whole and to be a worshiper of His, or are we going to procrastinate despite this promise? That was the thing in today's scripture. The first five found themselves wise. They brought enough oil for their lamps. They patiently waited. They never questioned if he was going to come back, right? Think of that, too. That's something that's kind of not mentioned in the scripture, but it's kind of known just by reading it. They waited patiently. They slumbered. They waited a little more. But they never thought, according to the scripture, oh, the bridegroom will not return. They knew he was coming back. They patiently waited him because they were, once again, wise enough to know what was promised. It's that simple. They didn't grow weary in their waiting and neglect their lamps and run out of oil. And the reason the five didn't run out of oil and neglect that is because they knew what was promised. They brought enough oil for their lamp because they knew God's promises. Now, the other five decided that they needed more oil. They weren't ready for the return of the bridegroom because they were foolish in their actions. They weren't concerned about being ready, and it's under the mindset of, nah, he'll take me anyway. Here's the reality for us today. We cannot be covered by the salvation of another. What I mean by that is, you see the five who had forgotten their oil. They looked to the five wise. And, well, we can see really what happened here pretty simply. The five who had prepared knew that they didn't have enough oil to go around for everybody. So, what do? Well, we're not sharing our oil with you, because if we do, we won't have enough. Friends, I don't care how much you think that you've been a good person. I don't care how much you think your family has done. I don't care anything about your family line. Actually, I don't care who your parents are or who your grandparents are. We all have a decision to make on our own outside of what others have done in their own life. You don't know how many times in our little local community that Don or I or another pastor have had a conversation and talked about individuals who say, well, I'm saved because my grandfather was a deacon at such and such church. Or, I'm saved because I'm a pretty good person. Or, I'm saved because my family attended church. We went to Vacation Bible School. Think of that for a moment. For those of you that know the Lord, you know that the people that walk in that line are walking in the line of the five foolish. They are not ready. But they want to make excuses as to why they are ready. If we are going to fall in the category of the wise, if we are going to be ready for His return, we have to understand that we do not have the ability to rely on someone else to bring us there. In other words, the five foolish were not going to make it to the bridegroom because the other five brought enough oil for them. They were only going to make it if they were wise enough to bring enough on their own. Now, I'd like to clarify something here. The scripture for today is discussing the Lord's second coming. The reality is that it can be by the second coming or it can be by death, but we are limited in our time. And as many of you know, tell me if I'm wrong, we as humans like to procrastinate. Is that a fair statement? We like to procrastinate. I don't know about you guys, but Katie will tell you that I have a tendency to procrastinate from time to time, especially if it's something I don't want to do. But here's the thing with procrastination. Procrastination does not speak wisdom. It speaks foolishness. And the same can be said in our faith. When we procrastinate the inevitable, when we have promises of God, the wisdom of God, and we choose to procrastinate, then we're falling in the category of the foolish. We want to put off to the very last moment what needs to be done today, but we better not procrastinate when it comes to our Lord. You see, we could find ourselves in the Lord's wrath like Ananias was over in Acts, where he lied in selfish ambition and he was struck down for his lie. Or we could find ourselves as the rich young ruler holding on to our life until it's too late. I have to think the rich young ruler, maybe he had something going through his head of, well, I've still got plenty of time. I'm going to hold on to my old life a little longer. Scripture doesn't tell us that, but I feel like that's probably how I would think if I had have been him. Here's the reality. We can't put it off till it's too late. Wherever, however it is, we have to understand the reality is that it was appointed unto man a time to die, and then the judgment. Here's the truth, friends. When the bridegroom comes, you better be ready. Well, we can all complete this sentence. You better be ready. There's no second chance beyond that. The door is shut. When we've breathed our final breath, we are either going to find ourselves celebrating in heaven or sorrowful in hell. And you see, we make this into a tricky predicament when it really doesn't have to be. We're taught in Matthew 25:13. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So in our procrastination, we find ourselves in a moment where we are trying to time out God. Think of the foolishness behind that. That if we do not act in our faith, if we do not say, I understand what God did for me, I'm going to follow in that by seeking repentance on my life and living for Him. If you understand that and you don't follow in that, we are trying to time out God. We are trying to say, well, I've still got plenty of time, or it'll be all right anyway. I'll get it before I die. I've heard individuals say that. I don't know about you guys. I've still got plenty of time. Well, we come under the mindset of, we are healthy, so why would we die? Or we come under the mindset of, there's still good people in the world, so why would He return? Now, I don't want to argue the validity or the invalidity of those two statements. What I want to argue today is, rather, brothers and sisters, we are speaking of the foolishness of testing our God. When we find ourselves in a mindset of, I have plenty of time, or we find ourselves in a mindset of, I'm healthy, it'll be all right, or we find ourselves in a situation where we're saying, He's not returning yet. We find ourselves in a place where we're testing God's omniscience and grace. You see, we know He's all-powerful, He's all-seeing, He's all-knowing. And we know that He's given us grace. By us thinking that we can put off, we're testing that. God is the one who provides our health. God is the one who provides our time. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we decide to test Him, there are consequences. A man was, I'll tell you this little story here. A man was once excited to visit his bride-to-be. He had gone for many weeks. He was working out of town. And he'd hoped to come home and surprise her a week early. And as he pulled into the driveway, he noticed an unusual car in the drive. He approached the car trying to see if he could tell who it was. Maybe he'd recognize it. But he didn't, and he assumed that one of her friends was there and continued on to the porch. When on the porch, he glanced in the window only to see his fiancée in the arms of another man. Well, he left the home never to return. I give you this illustration to ask you this question. If Jesus came for His church today, where would He find you? Would you be right with Him? Or would you be with Satan? Would you be as the five foolish? Would you be not ready? You see, the five foolish virgins missed the bridegroom simply because of ignorance and excuses. Well, surely the others will share some oil with us. If we have to return for oil, He'll still let us in, right? Friends, when the bridegroom comes, we better be ready. Because that's it. Shut door. We had better not think that we will be able to talk our way out of it or convince God that we've been good enough. Because as we learn in the Scripture today, once the door is shut, it is shut. Friends, you may fool those around you with a fake facade of who you are, but when the day comes, ignorance will not be tolerated. You're either right with God or you're not. A moment where you're going to have to make a decision once again. A moment here in just a minute where you'll decide which master you're going to serve. A moment where you must decide the trajectory of your life and the trajectory of your eternity. A moment where Jesus has the opportunity to come and live in your heart if you'll choose to accept Him. So I want to ask you guys today, in this critical moment that's about to come, as we prepare in just a moment to partake in communion, I want to ask you guys again, if the Lord came today, where would you be? Where would He find you? What's it going to be on your life? Will you procrastinate like the five foolish? Will you act unwise? Will you think it'll be okay? Because as we prepare to sing here in just a moment and have this altar call, will it be that you will neglect the call once again? Please don't. Please don't neglect that call. Whatever it is today, for salvation, for the first time, for rededication, for baptism. Friends, as we're getting ready to have this moment where a decision will have to be made, would you make the right decision today? Would you come today? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we are so thankful today that You have allowed us this time in Your Word, and the truth behind it being that You have given us many promises, and Father, You have held up to those promises. But Father, there's another promise that we await, and that is Your return. Father, each one of us have to prepare ourselves with wisdom to be ready. And as we prepare to sing this song in just a moment, Father, I pray that if there's one here who says, I've been acting as the five foolish, I'm not ready. Father, would they not procrastinate another day? Would they not show up unprepared for you? But Father, when you come back for them, ever how it be, by death or by your return, Father, my prayer today is just simply that they would turn to you. Father, that they would leave the foolishness of this world behind, and that they would seek your grace and your truth today. Father, I pray among your people today that we would allow you to move and stir in our hearts, and we wouldn't put you off another moment. Father, would you be with us on this special time? I say this in your name. Amen.